from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Scarlet Knights, more than 300 yards on the ground. Raymond bursting through the hole.
Not wanting to go down there, and he doesn't. Raymond's first career touchdown puts triple zeros on the clock, and the Icer here tonight in the opener.
Rutgers and Howard, candidate for craziest spread-based ending of the year in week one. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. UB got a victory there.
Yeah.
We'll recap UB's victory at 7:30 with Scott Wilson. And the Brandon Ayuk story finally came to a completion last night.
My overall take was lame. Because now I will never believe again that star receiver asking for a new contract is actually ever going to get traded.
You know what? It's the next step in receivers becoming the new quarterbacks. Quarterbacks used to have to hold out and fight for money.
Yeah.
Now they all just get paid. Everybody gets paid. Remember, Russell Wilson might go play baseball. He might just retire and go play baseball where there are guaranteed contracts. Oh, really?
Mm.
And then what does he do? He signs. In the receiver world, you have guys asking for trades, and then they just play for the team. T. Higgins asks for a trade. Franchise tag, signs it. Ayuk asks for a trade. Debo had asked for a trade. CeeDee Lamb's family had said that he should get out of there.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Yep.
It's all whatever. Ayuk re-signs for 4 years, $120 million, average of $30 million a year, which is probably, I mean, bargain.
Kind of a bargain for him, right?
It's bargain territory. It's definitely not any sort of shock. That's a going rate for one of the best receivers in football. The funny part, of course, yesterday was how the early reports were this is the same deal the Niners have had on the table the whole time.
Yes, from Schefter.
From Schefter, yeah. Right. And then I saw, once you see like three reporters with the same message instantly, the Niners are doing damage control, I guess. They want people to think that they won. Where to believe? Imagine believing for a moment that these two sides are negotiating and the Niners start their offer 4 years, $120 million. Here it is.
Yeah.
That's their starting point. I'm to believe that was the thing the whole time.
Yep.
Schefter's was a little more specific, saying it was the deal on the table since August 10th. Rappaport had it as $27 million earlier in the offseason. Whatever. It's done. Good for him. Good for them. Now what?
What's the next?
Now Jamar Chase.
Now we're on to Jamar Chase. Lamb signed. Ayuk signed. And then it's going to be a whole new crop of receivers that need to get paid next. Metcalf will be the next guy. If the Seahawks do that, or if they're good enough to do that. But it is also, like we talked about this, I was rooting for that to keep going. Keep that going and get to next year when the Bills might be able to make a move there. Because I think that player is great. And I think, like, the Niners, it's the flip opposite of, hey, this receiver, he's actually better than this. You just don't notice it because he's got a bad quarterback and a bad offense. I feel like Ayuk is the same result for a different reason. Ayuk is, if he were on the Cowboys, I bet you he'd put up CeeDee Lamb numbers.
He's pretty close to it anyway.
170 target. He gets 105 targets in a Niners offense. How many would he get if he was on the Browns this year? Yeah, they were trying to trade for him.
130,
150. Like he probably, it doesn't matter. If you watch the film or if you look at the stats or you just watch him play, I think you'll see, oh, that's a number one receiver. But his numbers are never probably going to be that of Jefferson, Hill, Lamb, he's on the Niners.
Let me ask you this, though, because the fantasy world does pay attention to this. Doesn't a big contract generally mean more targets are going to go there?
Generally. Yep.
That's something that the fantasy world will often get on board with. So if you have, think of the guys that got contracts this year. I mean, it's every team. It's one of the reasons why, you know, maybe the Bills are the one team that doesn't want to do it this way. I don't believe that, but it's a case you could make right now. But the Lions signed a guy this year. The Eagles did. Did DeVonta Smith get a new deal this
year? Really?
Every team.
I'm looking at the receiver fantasy rankings right now and how many of them got paid. Just, so Lamb got paid.
Tyreek Hill got
paid.
Redone.
That's the top two. Chase is fourth. Mm-hmm. Wait, actually, excuse me. I skipped one. Amon-Ra St. Brown's third.
Deal.
He got paid.
4 for $120.
Okay, Jamar Chase is fourth. Mm-hmm. Not yet, but that's probably coming. Jefferson at five.
Yep.
He got paid. A.J. Brown was already paid. Garrett Wilson, not yet. Puka Nacua,
Garrett Wilson will be this coming offseason.
Okay. Scrolling down a little bit. Did Waddle get paid?
Yes.
Okay. Mike Evans?
I mean, yeah, sure.
Yes, he got a new contract.
That's right.
He was... Michael Pittman?
Yes.
Okay. Brandon Ayuk? There he is. Yep. DeVonta Smith? DJ Moore?
Yes.
I mean, it's crazy. Like,
they all got new deals.
The top 20, Amari Cooper, the top 25 receivers, like 15 of them got new contracts. That really is the receiver market exploding, isn't
it? I guess so, yeah. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. You know, you're talking fantasy there. Those are the fantasy rankings.
Yes.
Busiest fantasy weekend of the year coming up, right?
Yes. Yes. Everyone's got to get their drafts in that they haven't had yet.
It's a long weekend, and
yep.
I have, between now and the opener, which is 6 days away,
yes.
I have four fantasy football drafts in 6 days.
Wow, let's go. Are any on the same day?
No.
So it's pretty, all right, so you got almost one per day.
Yeah.
All right.
Pretty much.
Do you have one today?
Not one today. Okay. Unfortunately, I'd like to have one. They go pretty quick, right?
They're faster than ever.
We have streamlined these in a good way.
Yes, we have. We were talking about this in our league last weekend, that we completed our draft in, I think, 2 hours, and we had 5-hour drafts in the past. Because it depends how you used to do it. Now it's all on your phone. It's not even on a laptop, right? Like, these apps, depending on what app you use, some of them are still pretty archaic. But some of them are good enough where, like, I would, Sleeper, for instance, I would always just draft on my phone. It's the easiest. 5 years ago, 10 years ago in this same league, it was draft board up on the wall, right?
Yeah.
And then you got all the sheets of stickers right below that. So, okay, it's your turn to pick. You go into the room where we've got the list, the printed out list of all the ranked players, where, like, all the names are crossed off. And you go in there, you look, you got a clock or whatever, you decide who you want, then you walk back out of the room, then you go to the draft board, you dig through the sheets to find your guy, take the sticker off, then put it on the board. It's like a 4-minute process.
Yeah, just to make a pick.
Just
My
to make a pick.
And I still do that. We're having a draft on Sunday and we still do that.
See,
there's a lost art to that.
Speaking of lost arts in drafts, one thing we have lost in fantasy football drafts, the sticker system also kind of made it go away.
Yeah.
When you draft somebody or one of your friends drafts somebody that's already been drafted and you get to make fun of them,
yeah,
we've lost that.
You're right.
You really can't do it. The closest thing to that is, hey, I'm looking for so-and-so to nominate them. Where are they? Oh, they already went off the board. But there's no, you take a guy that already was taken and you have to be shamed by your friends.
Yes. Yes.
And I miss that.
Should we start a league that's just offline?
Offline and no lists. Memory.
Offline, no lists.
Don't they do those?
There's one, yeah, I think Mike Shope's done one in Vegas. The Bare Knuckle, I think it's called.
Where you have no materials and just try to remember
everybody. You just have to show up and that's right. But for this, though, I'm thinking, like, you can have your magazine in front of you.
Yeah.
But you can't have anything electronic in front of you. You got to go old school. You can have a... You know, there are new notepad in here. You can bring your notepad with a list on it, but you can't bring your phone.
803-0550, our phone number. Let's hear fantasy questions if you want. Feels like it should be a fantasy Friday on some level. Like, we've got UB to recap coming up 7:30. We'll talk with a Browns reporter as well, and some Bills stuff to get along the way. But, you know, this is a big weekend for your draft. And what's the story of the fantasy world this year? I mean, the Bills have been front and center for fantasy for a couple of years. I mean, Gabe Davis was a league-wide or fantasy football worldwide question about how good is Gabe Davis.
Yes, he was.
This year, I don't know, we just took a call last hour about the receiving options.
Yeah.
Is James Cook about to be a league winner? And by the way, the phrase league winner, if anybody, like, when people say that, I don't know if it's just a phrase we all use and someone in the fantasy football world might want it explained. It's very simple. It's just this guy's so good that if you have him on your team, you might win a league because he's unexpectedly good.
But even more than that,
he overproduces.
Yeah, overproduces is the right way to put it. Because usually that implies you found somebody that is like out of nowhere. And Cook, like
Puka Nacua.
Puka Nacua was a league winner last year because you got him for free. You just got a top five receiver for free. And Cook, like he is, you're probably picking him in like the fifth round, like he's the 15th running back or something. If he finishes as a top three running back, he'll be a league winner for you because you didn't draft him as that.
He's the 15th running back?
Yeah. Does that surprise you that it's low or that it should be higher?
It feels like it should be way higher.
Okay. Do you want to know?
You don't think James Cook will project top 10 fantasy scoring among running backs?
I think the problem with him
is Josh Allen.
Is in a way it is Josh Allen. He doesn't get the touchdowns. He doesn't get the chance to get the touchdowns, right? Like the guys above him, like Rashad White, Josh Jacobs, Pacheco, Derrick Henry, Kyren Williams, ETN, like all these guys are going to get goal line carries. And I have Cook in places. I don't know if it's impossible that he'll get goal line carries. He's just not going to get a lot of them. But last year it was none. He didn't get anything in around the goal line. It was Allen or it was Latavius Murray. That was it. And Cook scored 2 rushing touchdowns. What's that number going to be this year?
5.
All right. Well, if he gets 5, like that's he will crack top 10.
Five,
if he gets the 5
rushing touchdowns, 5 receiving touchdowns.
Yeah. But for him to be like a top 3 guy, even number 1, like I think he's got enough volume for that. He'll get enough targets in the pass game. He'll get enough rushing ability, I think. And he has had good efficiency numbers in that. But if he wants to be a top 3 back, like we got to be looking at a double-digit touchdown season. And I just don't know that a running back will ever have double-digit touchdowns with Josh Allen as their quarterback. At least not in this state of the Josh Allen era, where he is rushing for 15. He takes 15 away himself.
Isn't this next era of Josh Allen with these receivers and this offense, the way that it's built, and maybe a commitment to 12, maybe a commitment to running it more efficiently? They say that all the time. And if they do run it more efficiently, wouldn't they just by default kind of start running it more? I mean, the Cowboys game is an example we use all the time as this outlier for, well, they're not going to run it that much, but they did because it worked. And right. If they're running well, they're going to keep running, which we're probably not going to have that much of a problem with. So, you know, there's this fear that they might turn away from Josh Allen and not pass the ball as much as they have in years past. But if they, in fact, are better at it, more effective at it, I don't know how many people will be upset about that. But the point is, back to the fantasy point and James Cook here, if this is really a different version of them, not the previous 6 years of Josh Allen, but more of a run, power, play action. I was watching a breakdown of Keon Coleman yesterday, and someone talked about how they've been waiting for Josh to get a receiver like this because he's a bully. And I'm thinking about Rex Ryan and bully ball, and like all these things are kind of tying together that we're seeing a different version of what this Allen pass.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Passing game and running game will be
right.
Maybe it's not a version where he gets 10 rushing touchdowns.
Right. He also saw an uptick in catches when Joe Brady was the coordinator. Right.
Cook did.
So there was more of an intent to, hey, let's throw the ball to the running back, and that even was happening down the field.
Down the field for sure.
Yeah. His average depth of target was number one amongst running backs. Like he had more, and it wasn't much. It was like 3 maybe, but most running backs get it at the line of scrimmage. He also would have had more receiving touchdowns had he just not dropped four of them, right? So that, you know, is a thought too. But he's not that big. I asked Joe, the one thing that I will say though is I asked Joe Brady this in training camp, and he just like kind of shuddered at it. Like, I'm not limiting his touches because of his size. But man, the pace he was on under Joe Brady for how many touches he would get over the course of an entire season just feels like a lot for a 190-pound running back. It's the type of volume that Derrick Henry gets used to get in Tennessee. And James Cook's body is going to be able to hold up for all of that. He's a high floor, low ceiling play. And I think that's probably why he's not going much higher. I don't think people believe he could be a top five guy.
803-0550. On fantasy questions, if you want them, you got some drafts this week, and I don't know. What's a good question though.
Like, what is the number one thing in fantasy this?
Like
this
the story summer? This year.
What is the story? Like in the last week, it's people freaking out of whether they believe Kyren Williams is the punt returner is going to, you know, take him down from being the starting running back in LA.
Yeah.
Now that Chase is still holding out, like people are starting to get worried about that.
Is it the return of the holy trinity of great running backs? It used to be that fantasy football is dominated by running backs,
yeah,
and especially at the top of the draft. And then it went away from that for a little while. Now we're back at McCaffrey, Breece Hall, Bijan.
Yeah,
I mean, they might not go 1-2-3, but like three running backs that have separated themselves.
Yeah, I don't know. This is one that the fantasy community is talking about a lot, but one that I have thought about is McCaffrey's just sitting here at number one again. That he is maybe the best fantasy player of all time. At running back, he's been the number one pick for what?
Yeah,
8 years
and
straight.
He's got the longevity too. Where like
that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, Todd Gurley was that for 2 years, 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah, right. There was like a flash there where it was Todd Gurley, and then he was gone.
But it's McCaffrey since his days in Carolina.
Yep. Yeah,
which
pretty
is
much.
Not that long ago, I guess.
And then the other thing for me is it's maybe the year of tight end a little bit, where I've remembered in the past where it was like two guys at the top. Wait, if you go way back, it was, hey, it's Gronk and Jimmy Graham right at the top, and then it's everybody else. And then it was Kelsey and Gronk, and then it was everybody else. And there have been others that were mixed in along the way. And then even, 2 years ago, it was Kelsey and Andrews. And now it's, if you include Kincaid in this, which I would, and I think many would also, you've got like five tight ends this year where you could all reasonably think, oh, they're going to finish number one. And I don't know how true that has been up until this year where it's, and it's the inclusion of the three young guys. Look, Laporta, McBride, and Kincaid, none of which were thought of this highly a year ago today. And now it's all like, oh, these three are all stars.
And yet Kelsey will probably lead the league again.
Maybe. He really might, yeah.
Kate in Buffalo is up. Hey, Kate, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
So it was funny. You guys were talking about drafting without calling or without using electronic equipment or apps. I've never actually experienced that. I've been in a couple fantasy football leagues for some years now with some out of town friends, which is fun. And by the way, the only reason I actually know anything about any of these players is from listening to you guys. So thank you for that. Had a little issue this past weekend where I was doing a draft that was online. And for some reason, as it's starting, I can't log into my account, and there's no way to let me in. So the manager was able to draft for me, but that meant I didn't have access to seeing who was picked, who was available. I didn't have any of those kind of usual things, unless I asked the person to share their screen.
Right, like who's available, who's left right now.
Right,
yeah.
Right. But then everybody else can see. So then the funniest and most embarrassing part for me was we do keepers for, I believe, 2 years after you draft them. So a couple years ago, it's his first year, I had drafted Jamar Chase, very luckily, in like the ninth round. And so I'd kept him. My time was up. So this year I decided I'd keep Kincaid. And then I'm you know, going through, and we do keepers a while back. So going through the draft, and then I start looking and thinking, you know, is there, or I asked them to put up the tight ends, the list of available tight ends, and I'm thinking, where the heck is Kincaid? Who took Kincaid from me? And I say angrily on the Zoom, like, who took Kincaid? And then they had to quietly say, you kept him. Yeah. He's on your team. So, yeah. It's definitely better these days.
Thanks, Kate. Yeah, thinking about like these drafts and keeper systems, there are a lot of unique leagues, right? How you manage to do this. Some are you keep the guy and he goes as the pick in the round. I think that's the one you're kind of talking about there, Kate. Like, my wife's in one where she kept Kincaid. She took him as a seventh rounder last year. So her seventh round pick, they do snake steal, is Kincaid. Then there's auction. We have one where we do auction prices, and then you keep the player at what you got them at the year before. So, you know, somebody like, I'm trying to think who here went really cheap. Puka Nacua, he's always going to be this example, right?
Yep, for
he's,
right now.
Yeah, he's really cheap. Or Nico Collins went for $1 in our draft last year. That guy's getting kept in a dynasty league, not dynasty, a keeper league that I'm in for $1. Good times, about to dedicate so much of my brain to it. I'm ashamed how many leagues I'm a commissioner of. I started two new guillotine leagues in the last week.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Two new ones?
Two new ones. Yeah. I did it to spread the joy of guillotine. Really, that's
spread
it.
Spread the joy of guillotine.
That's it. Yeah. That's why I did it.
You're guillotine Santa?
Yeah.
Kind of. Dropping Christmas presents
just
off.
Just telling people to join guillotine leagues for 10, like 10 bucks. Let's have some fun. Let me introduce you to the format. I'm pushing guillotine on people.
Yep. Until, of course, they're eliminated in week one. And they're like, well, this was stupid.
Yeah. That's why I'm in three of them. So maybe I can, you know,
although,
last a little longer.
Even then, like, you could get the itch to come right back. That's why guillotine's so good. My brother was in our guillotine league for the first time ever last year, and he learned a vital lesson. Guess what ruined it for him? He had three Dolphins on his team.
Oh, and they had a bad week?
They played the Bills. He had a bad week. Bam, eliminated.
Yep.
And I've been hearing about that ever since. Like, oh, I'm never making that mistake again. Got to get back in there. You can't get eliminated in week three in guillotine. So, by the way, James Cook, his pace under Joe Brady last year only, he would have had the touchdowns. And that is with the drops in along the way. The thing, though, is, again, they were all receiving. His 17-game pace with just the Joe Brady games would have been 1,200 yards rushing, two rushing touchdowns, 48 receptions, seven receiving touchdowns. That seems like a lot, though, for James Cook. Seven receiving touchdowns. You would take the under on that, I think, for this year. Wouldn't you do that for any running back? You would probably take the under on seven receiving touchdowns.
Is this Bills offense going to have more touchdown? Where will their overall touchdown rank be in relation to previous
total touchdowns?
In relation to previous years?
I
feel like no one has at the top of their head, how many touchdowns does a team score in a year? Is it 60? I don't really know. I should look this up.
They probably, I mean, Allen gets 45. By himself, doesn't he?
Okay, and how many other touchdowns are there for if you're a Bills player? Are there five others? I mean, how many rushing touchdowns do they have?
Yeah, here we go. Most touchdowns in 2023, the Niners and the Dolphins led the way with 61.
Okay, 61.
The Bills had 54.
Will they have 54 touchdowns this year?
No.
Lower?
Lower.
They were tied for... So they were third in the league in touchdowns last year.
No, I skipped down. They were, okay. They're sixth.
Sixth.
Yeah. The Lions, Cowboys, and Ravens had more. 54. Oh, there's those Packers with their cheat code with 44.
But run there. Through those teams again.
All right. Niners and Dolphins tied at the top, then the Lions, Cowboys, Ravens, then Bills.
These are all playoff teams. And then right below them, the Packers are right there too.
Then it's the Eagles, then the Packers, then the Rams.
All playoff teams.
Then the Saints.
The Saints are the first team with a bunch of points that didn't make the playoffs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had 44 touchdowns. If they have 50 touchdowns this year, Allen gets 40 of them. That's what makes that's why he's the number one quarterback in fantasy, though. Yeah. Like automatically, is he's going to get all of his team's touchdowns. That's why James Cook can't go top five. You can't trust him. He could have zero. James Cook could have a season this year. I don't think he'd get zero total, but he could have 1,000 yards rushing and zero rushing touchdowns, and it wouldn't even be the most surprising thing in the world. He had like four carries last year inside the 10-yard line. How are you supposed to get touchdowns? You'd have to score from way out then.
Four carries. I saw numbers on this. Like Joe Mixon's a guy that gets the ball inside the five all the time. He had 10 carries. He was tackled 10 times inside the five last year, Mixon. And he still gets all the touchdowns.
This was the thing about Jamal Williams 2 years ago, why I had no interest in him on the Bills.
18 touchdowns?
So, yeah, 18 touchdowns. Like, guys, he had 40 carries inside the five-yard line. Of course he had 18 touchdowns.
Yeah. 803-0550, Nikki writes in, the previous holy trinity of running backs at the top, Priest Holmes, LaDainian Tomlinson, Adrian Peterson.
Whoa.
Larry Johnson used to be a top guy.
Did those three overlap?
I don't think Priest Holmes overlapped those guys. He might be thinking Jamal Charles.
Jamal Charles definitely would have been the guy.
Larry Johnson. Sean Alexander.
Yes.
Sean Alexander set the NFL record for touchdowns.
Is he... See, if I were to say McCaffrey's the greatest fantasy player of all time, I don't want to include guys from the 50s when nobody was playing fantasy football. Like, oh, guys, Johnny Unitas had the most fantasy points for 18 years in a row. Like, no one was playing fantasy football back then. It's got to be when people were playing fantasy. Who was the best ever?
Did you just loosely compare Sean Alexander's time to Johnny Unitas? Is that what that was? Do you know who Sean Alexander was?
I do know who Sean Alexander was.
Are you sure?
That's why I was asking, like, is that the borderline? Is that right when it became more everyone was playing?
I mean,
Sal had a league in the 80s, right? Like, there were always, like, these leagues bouncing around out there, but... When did fantasy become mainstream? Around the time Sean Alexander was playing football? It's like early 2000s?
I mean, I was playing fantasy in the 90s a little bit.
Okay. On like what? You're a pen and paper or like...
Yeah, high school friends.
Windows 95?
Yeah, like Grandpa tell you a story. We used to have to wait for the box scores in the paper. And the next day someone would chart, you know, would tally up the scores.
Yep.
Way back when.
Sean Alexander, 2001 through 2005 is really the meat of it. Man, 2005. 1,800 yards rushing and 27 rushing touchdowns. I mean, come on. That's insane.
We'll recap UB's win. They got a win in the first game of the Pete Lembo era. We'll talk to Scott Wilson coming up on the other side. So stay tuned. 803-0550. Also coming up this hour, I want to get to this with you. We have the Sabres theme nights and their giveaways.
All right.
And they have one giveaway that we'll see how they execute it, but it should be a guaranteed sellout. I'll tell you what that is.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.